our weekly visit right now with Jesse Connolly from alongtheboards.com. Happy Friday to you, Jesse.
Happy Friday.
What's happening with the Bruins? Any news there before we get to those teams that actually made the postseason?
It's all pretty quiet right now. We still expect the usual suspects to be in the mix. There was a report over this last week that Dan Bylsma might not be one of the front-running candidates. There was a report that he might have interest in filling another vacancy somewhere else with another NHL team. So that's the latest right now. And obviously, with the Detroit Red Wings exit, Mike Babcock's name enters the fray. People are kind of having that pipe dream that maybe he might be lured into coming here. So we'll have to see. Detroit has exclusive negotiating rights with him until June rolls around. So just have to wait and see how that goes.
Well, everybody's excited about Babcock and wondering where he'll land, but this is a guy who's made pretty early exits from the playoffs the last couple of years. Am I missing something? I know he's highly regarded, but that success has not manifested itself on the ice the last two seasons.
Yeah, that's true. It's been a while since he's experienced that, you know, really high level of success that we often, you know, link to Detroit. He made the Stanley Cup final with Anaheim back in the early 2000s, won it all with Detroit in 2008. They were back in the finals the following year, and they lost to Pittsburgh. And, you know, since then, like you said, there's been a lot of early exits. I think they went through a bit of a transition over the last couple of years. They're starting to incorporate some younger players. They had a lot of those gritty veterans that they might have committed to for a little bit far too long there. Ken Holland was loyal to his guys, and that, you know, that kind of hurt them the last couple of years. So, you know, it's hard to really forecast what the future holds for Detroit, but, you know, in terms of measuring success, Babcock hasn't had a lot of it in the playoffs in the last few years.
Now that the league has announced the finalists for the Hart Trophy, who do you think's got the inside track? Is it Ovechkin, Price, or Tavares?
I think it's a philosophical question when you look at it. If you think a goaltender is deserving of that Hart Trophy, obviously they have the Vezina set aside for them, then I think it has to be Carey Price. He's been absolutely exceptional this year in terms of both quantity and quality. He's got the wins, shutouts, save percentage, goals against average. He's been unbelievable. He's really carried that team. You look at Montreal over the course of, you know, the last season here, that they get outshot a lot. They're not a very good team at suppressing shots and kind of driving possession. So I think, you know, he stands above everybody else in terms of being the most valuable player to his team. But, you know, if you don't stand on that side of the argument, then John Tavares can make a pretty compelling case for himself. Obviously, you know, without him, the Islanders are nothing. He's the captain, he's their offensive leader, and he's a superb player. So I think it's going to come down to those two. It's hard to slight Alex Ovechkin's season, especially under Barry Trotz. He's become so much more committed to defense and really sharpened his all-around game. But I think he's the outsider right now, and it's down to Tavares or Carey Price.
Let's break down some of these series, Jesse. Let's start in the East. The Rangers in Washington underway. The Capitals with a 1-0 lead in that series. The Rangers, certainly the last month or so of the regular season, seem like the best team in the East, but have not been playing top-notch hockey here in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Rangers were phenomenal down the stretch. You look at that whole second half of the season, and they really took over in the Metropolitan Division. The race was really over with about a month to go. So you look at how the first round went for them. It was a really tight series with a you know, kind of banged up, undermanned Pittsburgh team. I think every game they won in that series was 2-1. The offense wasn't really there, but luckily, you know, the defense and Henrik Lundqvist was. So I think they'll have their hands a lot more full with Washington here. They've got obviously the big names, Backstrom, Ovechkin, you know, Mike Green, Matt Niskanen to deal with, and Braden Holtby was obviously very good in the first round against the Islanders. And you look at kind of the emerging names there, like Evgeny Kuznetsov has played a big role here over the last couple of months for Washington. So it's going to be a much tougher series for the Rangers, and last night was a tough pill to swallow.
Tampa Bay, a team that a lot of people thought would be maybe the best in the East coming into the season, had to rally down 3-2 to Detroit. They came back a big game by former Blackbeard Ben Bishop in Game 7. How do they match up against the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah, that was a strange series with Detroit. Not that you expected the Lightning to sweep them by any means, but Detroit, they didn't get a lot of Henrik Zetterberg down the stretch. They really backed into the playoffs. They almost lost their playoff spot there. If the Bruins had been a little bit better, they might have been able to edge them out. But, you know, they got the job done, and Ben Bishop really stole that Game 7 there. So he stole the series in the process. Detroit was the better team that night. But, you know, now you look at you know, what's ahead here with Montreal. They squared off last year in the playoffs, and obviously Ben Bishop was not a part of that series. He got hurt during the last week of the season, so Montreal subbed him right out of there with Anders Lindback struggling in net for the Bolts. So I think we'll see. I think they'll fare a lot better this time around. I think, you know, if you want to look at the Lightning, Steven Stamkos, no goals in seven games there against Troy. You can look at that as a negative, or you can look at that as a positive. They were able to beat the Red Wings without their star captain doing anything. So I think he's going to have some better fortune here against Montreal, and it's going to be a good series.
Out west, Anaheim already off to a one-game-to-none lead over the Calgary Flames. Does Anaheim just have a little too much for Calgary in this series?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Canucks weren't a fraudulent playoff team, but they don't have nearly the amount of depth that the Ducks do. You look down the middle, they've got Ryan Getzlaf, Ryan Kessler leading the way, Corey Perry, and Frederick Anderson has been playing very well so far in the playoffs. You look at how things were shaping up in the final few weeks. We weren't sure if it was going to be Anderson or John Gibson being the number one to start things off here in the postseason, and he's been very solid. And you know, you look at the Flames, they're a plucky team, they're a young team, they've shown a propensity for late comebacks, but I think they're really up against it against the Ducks, and this will be the end of the road for them.
Certainly one of the great stories of the postseason has been the play of Scotty Darling taking over as goalie for the Blackhawks. What do you think about that series with Minnesota?
Yeah, it's been a phenomenal story. You look at the whole body of work there in the Predator series. Obviously, he didn't end it the way he wanted to, and Corey Crawford came back in and kind of stabilized things, and they eked out that Game 6 comeback win to get knock out the Preds. But without Scott Darling, they wouldn't be here in round two, that's for sure. And you look ahead here, Corey Crawford is going to get the nod to start off game one, for the second round. But, I wouldn't be surprised if Scott Darling ends up back in net at some point again if Crawford is as shaky as he was in the first round there. So with Minnesota, this is the third spring in a row they're squaring off. And Minnesota's a really good team. You've got Ryan Suter that can eat 30 minutes a night and probably seems to never really break a sweat. Zach Parise has proven to be a really clutch playoff performer from that last run there with the Devils to his first few years here with Minnesota, and I think it's going to be a great series.
Switching back up and going back to the losers bracket here, you have any inside insight as to how the Buffalo Sabres coaching search is going?
I don't. I know Tim Murray's got a lot of choices here, and Mike Babcock was one of the names mentioned. People kind of laughed it off there at first, the notion of Babcock. He's a guy that left Anaheim who just had come off of a trip to the Stanley Cup final to go to Detroit, and obviously Detroit has a tremendous amount of history, and they had a whole hell of a lot of talent at the time. People think, hey, would Babcock be a guy that'd be up for taking on that challenge of a team that's building from the ground up, basically? But there are a lot of good pieces in place. They've got a lot of young prospects that are carving out roles in the NHL. Rasmus Ristolainen is a very good defenseman that's going to be a number one here pretty soon, and a name that everyone's going to know. And obviously they've got that number two pick locked up, which is assumed to be Jack Eichel. They've got his BU line mate Evan Rodriguez already signed there. So whatever coach does wind up going there, they're going into a pretty good situation with a lot of upside.
Jesse Connolly of AlongTheBoards.com breaking down the playoffs for us here on Downtown. Jesse, great talking with you as always. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Likewise. Thanks, Rich.
It is 4:48 here on Downtown on your Friday afternoon.